Pick up your paintbrush. It's time for Hobby Support Group, The Gallery. Da, 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 da. The Gallery.
Good morning, Andy.
Good morning, Tom. How are you today?
I'm fine, thank you. How about yourself?
I'm good. I'm glad I'm outside. It's been raining every day for like a week now, hasn't it? It's October into November. Man, it's miserable out there. I'm glad I'm tucked up in here with a lovely glass of Coke Zero.
Oh, well, I've got a flag and a Vimto ready as we take a stroll through the gallery for October.
Yeah, I hope it's not too spooky in there, Tom.
Starting off this month, we've got Andy from the Friends of General Haig, who has posted up some more of his Swedish Yellow Regiment. These are some 28mm figures from the Assault Group. If you want to check out more of this and more of Andy's work, he posts up links to his blog on the Hobby Support Group Facebook page. So,
and if you're not on the Facebook group, why not get joining in and maybe join the Patreon as the plug for the week.
So here we are with some of this Swedish Yellow Regiment. And
Oh man, that's yellow.
Really nice models. I like the sculpts, the dynamism in them, the way they look.
Yeah, look really nice. Nice basing, nice models, good paint job. What more could you ask for?
And then looking at them then as the full regiment, fighting
beautiful.
Claiming that teddy bear fur, they just look really, really nice, don't they?
Very nice.
In the flesh, fantastic fancy flag. Really great. And then
two flags in the unit as well. Me and Ed were having a discussion about how many flags should you have in an English Civil War unit, Tom. Do you have any thoughts on that? This is a tangent in the middle of a video.
At least one, possibly two, is it? Or
yeah,
is as many as you want?
I think I've seen suggestions that as many as six is fine. The more you have, the better they look, I think. It's like it's one per company in the unit. That's how many flags it should be. So you can, depending on the size of the unit, but if you want to chuck four flags in, go for it. That's what I think.
I suppose the difference in a civil war is you're going to have just more like unit flags, aren't you, rather than national flags.
Yeah, I think a company is like 160 men anyway or something ridiculous, so I don't know how many it should be, but I think if the flags make the unit look nice, then just chuck them in. Yeah, more flags the merrier. Can't have too many flags, can you?
No, I don't think anyone's ever said that. You've a bit overdone it with the flags there, mate.
Yeah, too many flags. What's up with all the flags?
That's why.
Anyway,
we very nearly did start a podcast several years ago, didn't we? Called Dandy Hats and Fancy Flags.
Fancy Flags, yeah. And then we realised we just didn't know enough information. Hello, two idiots who don't know anything about the subject trying to record a podcast on it.
So then Andy then posted up a unit of cuirassiers, again for his Swedish 1620s army. And these are, again, 28mm figures from Avanpost in resin. And what he has set out to do with these was to try and represent a number of the different armor finishes that were sort of popular at the period. And I really, really like these. I think it's really cool and interesting to see the different, the gilded, the blued.
Oh, yeah.
The Damascened. I really like these armors. And, it's cool to see something that's not just armor that's just painted in bolt gun metal or mithril silver. It's really nice. These are also really nice models as well. I'd personally be a little bit reticent about painting unit of resin cavalry, but these look gorgeous.
Nice, aren't they?
The horse sculpts and quality painting, and again, really nice basing on them.
We all know Tom loves a horse.
I do really like these. I don't think it would be a huge stretch for these to fit into my early English Civil War army if I wanted a unit of cuirassiers.
Yeah, they're very nice.
because, you know, that army is really calling out for even more cavalry.
Aren't they Northern horse?
Yeah. So maybe one or two have got granddad's armor.
Yeah.
Talking about, you know, really, really like these. And then I like the dismounted cavalry marker. You know, someone's had his horse shot out from underneath him. That's a cool thing.
Nice.
And so that is Andy's work for this week. And now moving on to Benjamin Fletcher's. And we'll quickly caveat that, unfortunately, a few of these photographs are blurred. It isn't that Andy has managed to take his painting to such a degree that his cultists and stuff now give off some sort of miasmic thing that sort of bends time and space.
Distorts reality. No, Ben wouldn't do that.
They are just a tiny little bit blurred, but I wanted to share them because they're really nice models and paint jobs.
Oh yeah, I like the little green gem on the staff. It works really well with that washed out purple. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, yeah, and that weird plaguey beastman thing.
Yeah, the plaguey Nurgle thing that just sort of screams chaotic corruption of some sort. Just really like them.
Maybe he summoned him.
It does look like something that's been summoned, or again, I think it's also like something that we were chatting about on the hobby hangout last night, with how you can sort of come up with like a box full of these minis, which you can sort of, although they are obviously like very GW specific, they sort of work to drop into so many different role playing games.
Mm-hmm.
And also saying, you know, you're playing a D&D or, you know, Zone Alpha or anything, and something pops through a wormhole, the dude on the left and the cultist looking guy are going to work great, aren't they?
Absolutely.
And then a couple of beastmen and a turnipy looking goblin-y thing, which I really like. I think they're Moria goblin arms. Might be completely wrong.
Some ungores on the right, I think.
This could be a fun game of guess the bit from the kit bash.
Yeah. That weird looking goblin fella.
He looks, again, he's perfect to run into anything, isn't he? No, he's a henchman or some uber assassin or whatever you need. Great. Really like the bases for these as well.
They look
really nice.
He's been Frostgrave as well. That'd be really good.
Yep. Again, you know, another summon demon thing or someone.
Oh yeah, he's wrong. He's a wrong end.
He's been looking at books that he shouldn't be looking at. You know,
looks like that the monster in that Guillermo del Toro's Cabinet of Curiosities.
Haven't seen that yet.
It's very good. You should watch it.
I've got to see it because a couple of directors that I really like filmed episodes. So I will look for that.
I think it's a bloater from. Is that a bloater from Blood Bowl? Nurgle team, maybe.
As in Pox Walkers, and I think these are, and some more Nurgly looking dudes. I really like these though, because although these are obviously like quite. These are Nurgle models, they don't sort of scream Nurgle. Like, if you don't know, if you've never played a GW game and you don't know what Nurgle is, these are still going to get, or these are some sort of like plaguey demon sort of job. Again, really nice bases. And then another wrong'un. You know, he looks like he's zipped through a gate and nicked some stuff. I think if there's ever a model, if you grew up in the 80s and you had to draw a wrong'un, I think this is probably going to be this dude here.
Oh, you know? Scoundrel.
Yeah. The Chuckle Brother gone wrong.
It's Barry.
Really like this bit of terrain as well, actually. The sort of like the rune stone, the gate, and the weird statue all look cool and are pretty much useful, I think, for like a variety of games. Like,
yeah,
I think you could put them all on a game and they would work, I think, for most games, really, without they're not too ridiculous with like the million skulls and things, if it's a scattered terrain. You know, a crater there and a sarcophagus with Barry. I think that's what we'll call him now.
Yes, Barry.
And then, you know, if you want somebody to protect your sarcophagus, maybe a couple of titan. Are they some sort of imperial
knight? I wouldn't know what type of titans they are.
I know we're now out of my era of titan knowledge. So some Titanicus titans. Really, really like the colouring on the armour plate of these. The like the bony yellow off white. I think these are cracking.
Nice bases too.
So moving on from one Benjamin, we move on to a second Benjamin. And here we have Benjamin Steele's Warcry Force. And these are cracking. Now, not a particularly huge fan of the Warcry stuff as models, but they do look really nicely painted and they do look a really cool.
I'm really enjoying the washed out colours, but that sort of greyish flesh really pops next to, sorry to use the word popped, everyone hates it, we'll say, oh, it pops. But it really pops next to that washed out colours, that greyish blue flesh works really well.
It does with the rusted, corroded weapons.
It's all muted down colours and then this that bright flesh really stands out.
Yeah, they sort of look like undeady zombie-y without being gooey. The corroded golds and coppers on them, and just I think these look really, really nice, and the bases, you know, cool.
Vitamin D deficiency obviously there on there. Not getting they have rickets from lack of vitamin D.
Yeah, then the Chaos Dwarf, because who doesn't like a Chaos Dwarf?
Yeah.
I know you're not a huge fan of painting the Chaos Dwarfs.
I mean, I love Chaos Dwarfs. Long-term
listeners will be familiar with the tale of the Chaos Dwarfs.
I think I just don't like big armies that are like 28 mil. I think that's what it comes down to. It wasn't the Chaos Dwarfs. It was me all along.
I think this is quite a cool model. I think the guy like holding the helmet just looks like a cool champion who's going to ruin any encounter that you have in a D&D game and such.
Mm-hmm.
And like a bruiser guy who looks like he's just walked straight off of a Blood Bowl pitch. Do some blocking. And that's Benjamin's work for this month. And, you know, really nice work once again. We now move on to some of Charles Roundtree's World War One stuff that he's been putting together for the All Hell Let Loose World War One game that he's working on with his friend. Nice. And
yeah, it's good stuff.
You know, who doesn't appreciate a dozen or so tanks attacking on the Western Front? These look really nice. And, you know, I'm really looking forward to...
Are those Willys?
Little Willy was just the first prototype, wasn't he? Tank. So these will be my tank knowledge for World War One tanks is almost none. I think these might be Mark IVs. Somebody will let us know. As I outed myself when we were chatting with Alex from Storm of Steel, Western Front World War One is an era I don't really know very little about. I'm trying to learn. I'm reading about it at the moment. But I this looks cracking.
I think they're Mark IVs, if I had to guess. Four.
I think we'll go for a Mark IV. We'll hedge our bets. I think these also show like the appeal of 6mm World War One gaming when you want a couple of dozen tanks on the table, and it sort of works. Really looking forward to seeing more of these, and also looking forward to actually playing on Charles's Imjin board Reading Warfare, which will probably actually be today when this episode comes out. So I'll have already done it.
Oh.
Now...
That reminds me, I should remind everyone, what day is this going to come out? Is it going to come out by next Saturday, is it, Tom?
Yes, this should come out on Saturday the 12th.
Just remind everyone, I'll be at the Museum of London at 2:00 talking about axes, Viking axes. I need to keep reminding everyone, if you want to come and hear me do my what might be the last time ever that I do my talk on Viking weapons. Come and join us at 2 o'clock, and then we'll go and get a pint afterwards at the Raglan.
That is November the 13th, isn't it?
Yeah. 2022, if you're listening in the future. Yeah. Anyway, Viking weapons, come join us. Tanks, back to tanks.
So, well, jumping forward a little bit, or actually, no, it's like jumping backwards in time.
Ooh.
From tanks, we now have some Rebel Scum painted up by Chris Lane.
Lovely.
I think these are some Star Wars Legion figures. I like the style these are painted up, you know, all the highlights and the colouring on them. I think they look really quite nice. You know, I don't think you can, you know, who can complain about some, you know, Rebel Alliance dudes for Star Wars? Just look really nice models.
Great. I mean, they would work for anything from Stargrave. They're science fiction guys, aren't they?
Yeah. You could even use them in, like, Doctor Who, near future, anything, couldn't you? These were running around next Tuesday. They just sort of work. And then moving a bit forward in time from a galaxy far, far away, a long time ago, we have some 15mm, assuming they're Vikings.
Oh, really, Anglo-Saxons?
Might be. Dark Age.
I'm trying to work out that guy's helmet at the front.
I think some of them might have got crusted boars on the tops of their helmets. Really like the shields on these. I think, you know, lots of colour in them. I think it's always nice when you see sort of like pre-Napoleonic armies where you realise they were quite colourful and actually quite a lot of, you know, differential between the colours and shield designs. You know, there's quite a lot of bling and... Sure
is enough. Is this when we actually talk about how colourful the medieval period was? Everyone thinks it was all just browns, but actually it was a riot of colour. They were crazy for colour everywhere in the medieval period. But
but it's the same thing as like when you look at statues and stuff, isn't it? We always expect to see like a statue and you think, oh, it's all just like white marble and everything. And yeah, actually, it's basically painted in really bright.
Yeah, bright pink and bright red lipped. It was like they would have been like... The thought of like having a statue just white with like and but limbs missing when they were supposed to sort of represent sort of physical perfection would be so like unpainted, that would have been so weird for the Romans to see. Like, why have you not thrown that away? It's disgusting. Yeah. That's, you know, and they would want, yeah.
How uncouth that you've brought unpainted things to the table, throw them away. Really like these. I really like the sculpts on them as well. And I just, you know, I think they look really nice and cracking paint job and getting all the stripes and details in them. I really, really like them. You know, here we've got some archers in their multiply different patterned smocks and stuff. Just been painting a bunch of 6mm actual ancient Celts who I've been trying to do similar designs for in a much less well-executed style, I will admit. Then moving on to some 15mm tanks that Chris had also painted.
Or an elephant? You know better than me.
It's a Nassauan, I think.
Exactly.
It's definitely not an elephant.
Or it's open-topped, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's a Nassauan.
Yeah.
Really
I
nice.
I'm embarrassed myself. I'm just going to leave everyone.
It's a good job this is over Skype, otherwise you'd be losing an epaulette.
There goes one button.
It's probably not an Nassauan, has something to do with actually you'll find out it's a whatever designation German self-propelled.
Well, they only made a couple of tank variants, didn't they? There wasn't lots of them to learn.
Yeah, really like this, like the camo scheme, like the model as well. I've never painted up any 15mm tanks, but
yeah,
this looks really nice. And it's based. It's nice to see a tank based.
Sometimes we disagree on these things.
Oh. Then a Panther.
Unnecessary to base tanks. Looks weird. Strong. Lines drawn. Actually, I don't, you know, if you want to base your tank, base your tank. It's fine. I don't base mine, but I don't hold it against anyone who bases their own tanks. It's fine.
Yeah. And then Chris has also posted up some of the work that his son Barry had been painting up.
Oh, so nice.
Here we've got Mandalorian.
Mm-hmm. Then,
another gang of Mandalorians who are probably up to some mischief. And then
Mandoing around.
Then some of Barry's Napoleonics, which he made a start on. And, you know, take my hats off to anybody who's starting out painting Napoleonic French, because they're not the easiest thing to paint. And these look great for a first start on.
I mean, I'm going to have to paint some French in 6mm at some point. It just has to happen. Because, you know.
Yeah. Also, props to getting a child to start painting and going straight in for the Napoleonics. It's
quite sensible. Start with Napoleonics and everything afterwards will seem so easy.
Yeah. So then moving on from Chris, we now move into Dave Churchill. And he went this month with something a little bit left field, but very, very cool. And actually maybe like our first entry into spooky season for the month. We have Ooh. Baba Yaga's house.
Oh, yes. I love it. I don't know what you're going to use it for, but it's wonderful. Some kind of skirmish game where it's chasing you around the house like a Frostgrave game. That'd be pretty cool, wouldn't it? Chasing you around the board, this Baba Yaga's house. That'd be cool.
I think
already getting ideas, Tom. Already getting ideas.
I think it's also just... this is one of those models you could just have set on the shelf, couldn't it? It's just, I've painted it. I'm probably never going to use it, but it's cool. Or you're playing that one game, which actually has, you're somehow playing a game that randomly has like Baba Yaga in it. You go, one moment, I'm getting it out. And it's then like,
hang on, I have the model for that.
Yeah, the same as like with your Wicker Man. You know, at some point you will get to play with the Wicker Man that will fit in tonally with the game you're playing.
Absolutely. Now,
this is a great model, and it's really nicely painted. I think it just looks, you know, really fun, and it will just look great to sit on the table. Now, moving on from that, we now move on to Neil's Heresy era Iron Hands, I assume.
They're really good.
These look really nice. You know, the Heresy stuff is cool, and it's cool to see that Neil's painting up a legion, because he is often like deciding what legion to paint, and it's now actually committee.
So, I think Neil has painted every legion, hasn't he now? Even a couple that we haven't seen.
I think even maybe, you know, I think they may have several tenders for the missing legions as well. Now, these look really, really nice.
I might use a little bit of weathering powder around their ankles and their feet, maybe. Just to give them a bit more there. I would good. But
yeah, just make them
look great. Looks great.
Yeah, just
maybe another spot colour on there would sort of make them pop a little bit. But yeah, it looks really good.
Maybe just like once they're varnished, like a dusting with some weathering powder.
Yeah.
Just to like, I think just maybe to like catch in like some of the armour, like creases and stuff.
Yeah.
Just to make them look like they're wandering through a bit of a desert.
Very nice.
But maybe they've just like popped out of a drop pod or something, so they're sort of shiny clean.
Yeah. They are very nice as are.
Yeah. So, and a couple of a tech priest and not a warpsmith. I don't know what the Heresy era tech priests are called. Yeah. Really nice models. And then something a little bit different from the far future. We have a zombie pirate and a dragon lizard man pirate thing, which I think are mantic models.
Cool. Yes, Salamandos. It's very nice.
And that's Neil's posting this one. So, you know,
fantastic.
Looking forward to seeing more of the Heresy stuff as it comes out.
Now, I'm glad Neil's got himself a legion he's chosen and he's going for, and it looks really great. So good choice there, Neil.
So now we move on to a new listener, Soren Boy, who posted a link to a lot of the things that he's painted up this year. So here is some of the things that sort of jumped out to me. If you would like to see more of what Soren's painted, again, look on the Facebook group where there is a link to more of his painting.
Yay.
So we start off with a rather ecclesiastical looking chap.
There he is. That's a bishop. I know a bishop when I see one. With his mitre.
A knight defending. Yeah. And a noble woman.
She's got very big sleeves.
Rather flashy looking knight there. Just
like, yeah.
Come at me, bro.
I want to see him fight the guy in green.
And some spooky, ethereal looking chaps. I think these might be board game pieces. I don't actually know what game they're from, but it's nice to see painted minis for a game. This is what I have no idea what this is supposed to be. To me, it says it's a watcher in the water.
Kraken.
It looks like it's, you know, from deep in the earth. A really nice model and well painted.
Unleash the Kraken.
And as somebody who painted up a load of just random tentacles for playing Zone Alpha, this is, you can have split into its component parts. This is a whole series of different monsters. Then some pointy, stabby Billockmen look really nice. They look like they're going to do someone in mischief.
I think they're doing a good dance routine. Oh, I like that fox.
Yep, this is Fox. I don't know my mythology well enough to know what a...
Seven-tailed fox?
Yeah.
Isn't it? Asia, isn't it? The multi-tailed foxes.
And come on, Mr. Biologist, another giant snake for you to identify. Is it real or mythological?
The tail looks like a rattlesnake's tail. But looking at the head, there's spikes and so on. I would say it's a mythological one, but the size it would be, again, you're going for something like a Titanoboa, but it seems to be more of a giant poisonous snake rather than a constrictor, looking at those fangs. It's not a rear-mouthed fang, it's a forward-mouthed fang. You see the fangs at the front there. So
I'm sure these crossbowmen will sort of give it a bad day.
Snakes are pretty cool, but they don't really stand up against crossbows, do they?
Especially not when you've got a whole heap of them behind shields. These are quite nice models. I actually quite like these, and you know they're well painted. And it's interesting. I think this is like a good way of how you can take monoposed figures, especially with sometimes when you've got dozens of them, and just by slightly altering the paint scheme, like in this case the shields, just makes them not look all exactly the same sculpt.
Yeah, that's great. I agree.
Ben, I'm not going to ask you to sort of try and work out what group these have been, because I think these are incredibly mythological dragons. I really like the gold effect on these. And again, I think these sort of are a couple of models that would look great sat on the shelf if you're into dragons. Don't know. Are you a dragon fan?
I like how they don't have wings.
Yeah, that's a good thing. I will admit, all my dragons have been rehomed because of the wing storage issue. So
yeah,
these do get big pluses for not having wings. Maybe that's it. Maybe we should look more into sort of Asian dragons rather than like European.
Asian dragons just fly.
Don't need giant wings. Much better. Then some like golden monkey style piece here. Again, really like the gold effects.
These are good, aren't they?
Like really nice sculpts. And I think they just, you know, maybe if you've got a board game and you've got hundreds and hundreds of minis to paint, you know, just think relatively simple like this of just painting the characters so they look like they're out of gold. Just works. They look so much nicer than if they were just whatever color plastic they were.
I've seen a lot of the tokens, like, because when you buy a Blood Bowl kit, you get the bits that go on the side just to keep track of turns and rerolls and so on. And lots of people just paint them gold, and they look really good just as one color. You haven't got to paint everything to be a super detailed you know, paint job, just a gold can, or another color, just one color can be really good.
Yeah, or like these skeletons here, which have got some, you know, just a really nice, simple paint job, which just makes them really come alive and just lifts them up. You know, these look cool skeletons. Like these are, again, probably board game pieces, but these would look fine, absolutely fine, as like war game pieces in an army. I don't know, these are nicely painted skeletons. They're actually quite cool.
So they are quite nice, aren't they?
Yeah. They sort of actually look more realistic animated skeletons that most skeletons sort of look like. Another giant creature. I really like, with these giant monsters, I like the fact that they're in multiple parts. So they can, you know, it can be as big as you want it to be, really, and it doesn't take up 3 feet of storage space. You know, again, you can have like, you know, if you're maybe doing like a D&D campaign or something, you can, you know, like tease it with just showing like part of its tail or the middle of it, or you can just have like the head coming up as like a graboid.
It looks like a mix between a predator and a graboid.
Yeah. Maybe a bit of sandworm in there thrown in as well. So that's probably like a crossover we don't need, isn't it? We don't need Predator versus Tremors.
I would suggest that might not be a good movie, but you know, maybe in the hands of a genius filmmaker, it could be the best one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably not.
Then some more PC characters, I think. And these are really nice. These are, you know, I have no idea what game or range these are from, but they sort of have that sort of almost like the video game-esque sort of aesthetic to them that works quite well. And the paint, I like the bone the arm.
These are nice.
They look really quite nice. And then some like modern day, either like survivors or ne'er-do-wells. You know, you don't, I think these might be wrong ones, you know, with a lump hammer and a hatchet.
Yeah, some have got pole arms, but she looks like she's expecting it to rain.
Yeah. It's never really seen like the minion in a hoodie before, but these are quite fun. I like the I like the differential like blues on the jeans to actually again just make them all look a little bit different. Like a, you know,
yeah.
I think it's, well, this is, we talk about quite a lot, isn't it? Like how you can use the same colours, but just like altering them slightly. I think that's probably just the case. But putting just like a little bit more white in them just makes them look, yeah, they've all been given a pair of jeans and like a blue or a like a green or a yellow.
Look at that triad, you got the yellow, green and blue. They're all, you know, you mix yellow and blue, you get green, so you're getting that.
Yeah, but like also like if you got if you went into like JD Sports today and bought six pairs of jeans and six hoodies and gave them to six people and then told them to wear them for a month and then took a photograph of them, they're all going to be slightly different.
They're all going to look different, aren't they? Yeah.
Agreed. And then the final figure from Sorin is this assassin looking dude with a really, really nicely painted white cape.
Oh yeah. We like that.
I think like capes are I find really difficult to paint. In general, I thought like this is a really nicely dynamic model, but just like it's the really movement and the shading in that cape is
It's really weird because Tom normally wears a cape when we record. Now you would never see this at home, but Tom has a special recording cape with a very high collar. It's quite beautiful. Actually, I wish you could see it, but oh well. But this is a great model. This is a great model. I really love it. I love the dynamic way he's jumping off the rock, and that white cloak. You know. Good work going for something tricky like white to paint.
So we now move on to some 6mm World War II stuff now.
Ooh.
Steve Evans, who has been posting up some of his 2D6 6mm Germans that he's painting up for O Group. And we start off with a Panther, which, you know, is really nice. You know what? You can never go wrong with painting up a panther or two.
Well, I love painting big cats for the Germans. I have a 10mm army, and it's just an excuse to paint tiny German tanks, really.
Well, I think like I've got some 6mm O Group stuff that I'm going to be painting up probably in the new year now, which is like based on the Hurtgun Forest. But I think like seeing these really has more inspired me for it, because I was slightly worried if you're using like six mils with like small squads, like fire teams and stuff, how much of like a visual impact are you going to get, or are you using glorified tokens? Mm-hmm. And you're like looking at these, you can easily see like, and from you're going to be able to see like who's got a Panzerfaust, who's got a Panzerschreck, like an MG team. I think they're going to work really well. So these are really nicely painted, and it's inspiring me more to look into it. And again, especially when you're looking at like basing six more stuff, you know, these tufts and stuff become big bushes and all that sort of stuff. So, you know, it's, you can make difficult ground, and you can do a lot more interesting basing. So like, hey, you know, you've got the pack sort of hidden in behind a couple of tufts of seafoam. Look really nice. You can instantly tell what that is.
Yeah, it's nice.
Really looking forward to that. So looking forward to these. And, you know, as an army, they're looking really cool. And actually, I'm looking forward to playing some O Group. And if you're, you know, for those of you who are interested in playing O Group, I would check out Alex's Storm of Steel channel, where he's been playing some O Group recently and sort of goes through the rules a bit and makes it a bit more understandable. And then here we have a Panzer IV, a Tiger, some more infantry, and a half track.
Mm-hmm.
Look really nice. And then moving on to what sort of regular listeners might be more familiar with Steve, is some...
With some lizards.
Lizards from Kings of War. I'd forgot the name of the game there for a moment. Again, you know, great use of the aquarium plants, because who doesn't need... who gets away with not using an aquarium plant when doing jungle bases? Really like these lizards. I think they're one of the more interesting ranges from Kings of War. These look lots of fun.
Yep, look really good. Nice and colourful.
And then rounding out with a bit of spooky, because it was October. Some rat swarms. And these look nicely grim. I think, again, these are, I think, the sort of things which will probably be useful to have in that sort of like model box for things that you just, you need something random, you know?
Yeah.
It's a swarm of rats. Right, here you go. Boom. And the number of games I've played which have had, you know, a vermin swarm or something, these fit in, I think, really nicely with like the other Ratmen Skaveny stuff that he's been posting up over the last few months, which have that like the green toxic sludge on the ground and all of that. And, you know, these low, like they're bursting out the ground. Puts me in mind the horror movie Rats. These are actually would be better than those special effects. And then a ship for Armada. Assuming this is some sort of like orcish craft.
I think it's an orc one, yeah.
If I was guessing, it was orky. Don't think it's high elf. Again, I like the colour scheme on it. I also quite like the basing that they've done for the Armada ships.
Yeah, that is nice.
It sort of actually works. It sort of gives them a bit of movement without them being too daft. And then moving on from Kings of War, but staying in 28 mil, he posted up some of the Perry's 8th Army Desert Rats.
Yeah, lovely.
That's really nice. I really like the bases for this. I think it's quite rare to see somebody who's like textured the edges of a desert base. Quite often, like desert bases, you end up like the desert on the top, and then the rim is either painted black or a sandy color. To actually go for the full textured base works really well. And
that's good.
Yeah, these figures look really nice. Really looking forward to seeing some more of those painted up. And so that is this month's work from Steve. And then now moving on to Stephen Kellen, we have more of his simply brilliant. Yeah, I don't have my adjective list this week, so we're having more brilliance and amazings, but we've got some Imperial Fists this month, and I'll let you jump away with these, Andy. What do you think to these?
Oh, they're just like, yes, next level stuff, isn't it? It's fantastic. You know, the what more can we say that we haven't said already? The even the bases are fantastic. Like, just look at the bases. Wonderfully simplistic, but just the depth of colours there, really good. You got the yellows, the blacks. It's just, yeah,
I
it's
think
all really good stuff.
something that really like stands out at me for these, as especially this as a squad, is the use of the like the pop colors on the melter guns and like the heavy melter, just like the orangey fuel tank and then like the red fuel tank, just those little bits of extra color sort of in them just really brings like both the individual model but the whole squad a little bit more to life. And you sort of like realize most models have got like, they've got either like the red fuel tank, they've got the green painted laurels on the helmet, they've got like a little red laser top on top of the helmet. Just like those tiny little bits of color on each one, which will just differentiates them from the other. And then like the one dude in the middle who has none of those doodads, so sort of, it just works for all of them. I really like them all.
Yeah, it's very good.
And then here we have a the HQ, which sort of has, more of the like all the individual spot colors, the crests, the greens, the power sword, just really nice.
That's
The
very
chain
nice,
mail,
isn't it?
it's what can you say really, apart from it's a
That's really, really good. Yeah.
really nice. And then so to sort of prove they just doesn't paint really, yellow really nicely, it's then some Traitor Marines.
I want to see one that has just like blobs for eyes, you know. I want to see one way, one month we're just gonna go, I just gave up, really. Didn't really
Yes,
try.
not really into these.
Yeah, that looks amazing. That's really nice. It's gonna have such a nice force when these are all done.
Like so much trim on these, which is then like not only has it like painted all the trim, is then like edge highlighted everything inside the trim. Just take my hat off. These look cracking. Just read that. The Black Marines with bronze trim. How interesting can you make them? Have a look at
Yeah.
these, and then you'll see how interesting you can make
They're really good.
Black Marines look. And Devastators or whatever the Chaos equivalent of Devastators are, a couple of las cannons and a heavy
Havocs.
rotor cannon. Just look. I'd like to play against these. And with that, the Martian base as well. Just, next level 40K painting, I think, in my mind. Then sticking with 40K painting, but jumping from one person to another, we move from Stephen and we now move on to Andy, who has made a start on his
Oh,
5 pound army project with
well,
some gargoyles.
it's not 5 pounds. It's less than 20 pounds, which I guess 5 pounds is less than 20 pounds. But yeah, real
Sorry, I thought it was
simple.
5 pounds a week. I'm sorry, I thought.
Yeah, 5 pounds a week, or 5.50 a week to be precise. These were 22 pounds. Yeah, really simple. Used an oil wash. Yeah, High Fleet Kraken. It's just good fun painting. Some 28 mil. I was trying to get those 6 mil British Napoleonic flats done, and my heart wasn't in it. I just had to do it to myself. No, I'm taking a break and I'm doing some Tyranids, and I'll get back to my overall list in a bit. But for now, just getting one unit of these done and doing one a month.
These look really nice, and nice use of the flying stands on them as well to actually make them look like they're zipping around.
Well, they came with a flying stand, so you can thank GW for that.
Oh. Thought you'd source some flying stands.
No, that's where they came with them. The best bit is the bit that came with them.
And then, but it's not all just been Tyranids and space Griblies that you've been doing, is it? Because you also actually. In a very rare thing, I think, for many us hobbyists, you went back to a previous project and worked a little bit on the bases because you'd sort of come up with an idea of what you thought would be like an improvement to them.
I watched the Little Wars TV Battle of the Bulge episode, and I knew I got some 10 mil stuff. Actually, I'm hoping to hi Sam to play Sam, whatever rule set it was they were using. I've forgotten now. Now I'm on the spot. I can't remember the name of it. But the issue I have is that I'm a little bit red-green colorblind, so the grey Germans and the green Americans don't look that much different to me, especially on the white bases. So I thought, how can I differentiate the bases? Whatever it is going to be covered in snow. So what can I do? I thought, well, you know, maybe the Germans have been running forward and driving tanks over it. So I just went and put a little bit of black ink to make the snow look a little bit grubbier in patches. And just try and give a little bit of differentiation between the two armies, because otherwise, from 6 foot away, I couldn't tell them apart, I'll be honest. Well, I could tell the tanks apart because I know what a tank looks like, but six men on a base looks pretty much like six men on a base.
I think that's worked brilliantly.
Thank you.
I think these look like, I haven't seen them in the flesh yet, but I think these look very much like dudes running about in churned up snow.
Yeah,
I think it was, and especially like around the weapon teams and like the artillery and that, it's going to all be churned up, isn't it? It's not going to be right, stand there and don't move for the next 4 hours because you'll get footprints in the snow.
Yeah.
You know, this is choreographed. Mm-hmm. They look really nice. And I think, you know, photograph here of the two armies side by side. Yeah, I think you can now easily see at a glance if you've got like bases mixed up, which are which. And I'm not red, green, colorblind, but yeah, olive drab and field gray on a white base.
It's like
at a distance
in Ed Mill as well.
in a gaming club, which is quite gloomy.
Yeah.
I think you've made your life, I think, much easier.
I think I might even go around the rims of the bases, you know, in a different color as well, just to try and make them even pop out more.
Well, that's something I've been playing around with some of my army projects, is the idea of actually, like, do I maybe paint like the back edge of one, like on my the Warmaster stuff I'm doing at the minute, I'm thinking about maybe painting like the back edges of some of the base, the units, a different color, so I can like work out if, in case they all get mixed up, like which base goes with which unit.
Well, you could, in Napoleonics, you can do the facing color, I guess would be quite a good thing to do. But yeah, certainly in Warmaster, that would be a good idea as well. I mean, all three of those bases stay together, don't they?
Yeah.
Warmaster.
Well, talking about Napoleonics, quickly share an updated photograph of mine. The army is now flocked.
Woo! Is it completed?
It's just needs its flags.
Oh.
Which is a job for Tuesday evening before being gamed with on Wednesday evening.
Yes.
The army is finished.
Yeah.
It's just needs its flags attaching and will be on the table on Wednesday. So I will go down to hopefully get to the club early on Wednesday and get photographing it to share it in its full glory.
Fantastic.
Did take me a lot longer to flock than I thought.
Because it often does. I always think, I'll just get these based. That won't take like 20 minutes. And then it's like, it takes forever.
It's because it was a three-stage process of flocking, varnishing, mud, and then more varnish.
Yeah, I do a base sort of gravelly dirt, and then I put the grass on, and then I put the tufts on. And so actually, you know, it can take time.
But they are done. Looking forward to playing with them.
Well done, Tom.
Kick off our Napoleonic soon.
Flags per unit? Is it just an eagle and a tricolour?
It's two. One of them has got three flags because I want one of them to be like, one of them is a sort of a unit that's taken a bit of a battering. And so it's a sort of like a smorgasbord of stuff that's been knocking about. So there we go. But then moving a bit forward in time from the Napoleonics, we move forward to the 1870s and we have Bjørn Nielsen's British Zulu War models, which are really nice. On the hobby hangout last night, I was sorting out some 6mm Zulu British, and these are an inspiration to get those painted up. They look really nice.
Lovely, aren't they?
They do look really nice thing. You know, these would be absolutely, you know, smashing for like men who would be kings. So that'd be a lot of fun for that.
Very nice. Good job.
And then we had a listener said that our chat and enthusiasm for 6 mil had actually encouraged them to make the leap into trying some 6 mil. And so Andrew posted up some 6 mil Romans that he'd started on. And if these are the first 6 mil figures that you've painted, Andrew, these are...
Are they triarii?
I think they are, and they are perfect. I've painted thousands of 6 mil figures and can't really paint any better than this. These are really nice looking.
Yeah.
And then I think for sort of like inspiration slash...
I like the way the one on the second to the left has blue eyes. Very nice.
Yeah, then he posted up, you know, that the unit leader might be a bit out of scale, but, you know, sort of what you're going with. But I think, like, I like this photograph because I think it's a good exemplifier of how actually, even with 6 mil, you could instantly tell what most models are. There's the 6 mil dude compared to the 28 mil cousin. It just instantly works. They just look really nice. Looking forward to seeing more of these. And I hope you enjoy painting and playing the 6 mil as much as Andy and I do.
We love it. It's really convenient and it's good fun. Easy to store. All the reasons.
Then last and in no ways least, we move on to this month's Warren Standard. And let's get started with some Shermans.
Oh, they're nice.
You know, a really, really nice Sherman troop. I think these are cracking. I really particularly like the commanders and the stowage. I think they just look really nice.
I'm going to guess they're 20 millimeter ones.
That's what I would hide.
I mean, they could even be 10 mil. I wouldn't, and I'd believe they were just still this good from Warren, to be honest.
I think they're 20 because I know coming up in a bit, we've got some more tanks, which are 20 mil. And I think that, we will mention their manufacturer when we get to them.
I could even believe they were 6 mil from Warren. It'd still be this good.
Yeah. These are, you know, every month we have the Warren standard for a reason. I think it's Warren's work. Yeah. You know. Cracking. Then these are some of, he has now finished his 0-200 hours sort of set guards.
World's smallest Mexican wave.
Sorry, it's the effort that counts.
Woo!
Both for the wave and the joke.
I'll get my coat.
I really like the how he's painted up the German Shepherd dog as well. I think that's a really nice touch. You know, again, instantly tells what it is. Cracking. Then these are, you know, the whole dudes that he'd painted up. You know, the six chaps they'd painted up this week. And then there's the entire force that he's painted up. You know, that is the German half of the starter set for 0-200 hours.
Yeah, that's really good.
Absolutely, you know, cracking paint job, gorgeous bases, but also just really, really nice models. I think these might be some of my favorite. They're definitely, I think, my favorite plastic.
Yeah.
World War II Germans. Yet they are a little bit on the heroic side with the heads and the hands and the weapons and stuff. But they're going to be absolutely perfect for playing with without just breaking off. And, you know, you don't have to give them like a shifty look and like a barrel's going to snap or like rifle straps or stuff.
I would rather have a slightly thicker barrel and not have them break.
Yeah, well, it's something I've discovered recently is a new pet peeve. It's like rifle slings and straps. Mm-hmm. Like, you do them, if they're like realistically proportioned, they pretty much snap when you're cutting them off the sprue. So this rifle strap is really like 1¾ inches thick in scale. But it actually doesn't break. It's much better than having to cut them off and like start filing them off of broken rifles. And then these are a couple of Achilles tank destroyers from Armorfast.
Oh, nice.
And the crew are from AB Figures. And you can never really go wrong with a tank destroyer. And, you know, all of these tanks that Warren puts up every month, it makes me more and more interested about maybe doing some 172 tank stuff in the future, because I really enjoy painting tanks and building tanks, mm-hmm. I've got quite a large like armor pool of 28 mil stuff. So it's like, rather than adding like, do I add like a fourth Panther? It's like, no, do a Panther in a different scale.
Well, I do mine in, I do a lot of 10 mil tanks because you can store them in like a tiny box and you still get the fun of painting a tank.
Yeah. Really, really like these. And the crews, I think also something like as a fan of like assault guns and tank destroyers as well, I think it's the crew that also like gives them a bit more life and pops them out a bit. Mm-hmm. And you can sort of like individualize them a little bit. Playing mostly with my Germans, I have like several different crews that I sort of bagatized to swap out for my tank.
Yeah.
Because I'm not crazy enough to have like three or four Nashorns, but I do have like two that I can swap out the crews for, and then
right,
just different ones. But really like these. Don't really know. I can't really just sit here and go off with superlatives for another 5 minutes saying nice things about these, Warren.
Mm.
You know,
exquisite,
superb. Yeah, you know, just give you a round of applause, and so give everybody a round of applause really this week who's sort of taken part in this last month of posting your work up. We really,
is
really
that Monty in the back there? It looks like Monty.
He's brewed up. He's got his cup of
tea. Is he supposed to be Monty? It's next level stuff.
But yeah, just want to say thank you for everybody who's posted their work up over the last month. We really, really appreciate seeing everybody's work. And also, it's really great to see how supportive everybody is to each other's work. I think we have like a really nice community, and like the support group name isn't something that we sort of picked on by mistake. You know, it is what we try to sort of set out to do. And so, you know, give all of you a round of applause and thank you very much. And we'll be back in December with the November gallery.
Exactly.
So thank you very much for joining me this morning, Andy. And we'll see you, all of you listeners, soon. Goodbye.
Thanks, everyone. And don't forget to come and join us on the Facebook group. Take care, everyone. Thanks. Bye.